you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair.
Everyone loves you.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
We're glad you're here.
Fellowship's sweeter,
knowing you're near. So good to see you. Hope that it's there.
Reading from Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 49.
Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written: the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until they have been clothed with power from on high." That was Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 49.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, August 12th, 2024. Oh, listening friend, you're in for a real treat. And we're going to talk about some subjects that oftentimes maybe don't come up in the church or in public conversations, but we're going to talk about something that's so important. It's crucial. It's fundamental to knowing Jesus and following Jesus. We're going to talk about repentance. We're going to talk about sowing seeds and the importance we sometimes place on possessions, the over-importance that we place on possessions. And we're going to hear some background testimony to my special guest, Pastor Mike Smith, who serves at the Remnant Church in Blue Mound, also serves at Berea Christian in Nyadick. And for many of you in and around the Decatur area, we're praying up and still trying to get 100.1 back on the air. We're still looking for a nice tall building in downtown Decatur or arrangements on a tower that'll work with all the other competing frequencies. But we so miss all of our Decatur listeners tuning in and contacting us. But luckily, 89.7 gets to part of Decatur, and our 102.5 gets to the east side of Decatur just a little. So we're still trying to serve you, our Decatur friends, but hopefully with today's testimony from Pastor Mike Smith, you're going to be blessed and you're going to hear some of his life journey and faith story. Now, you may remember the name Lisa Smith, who's running for the 96th District as a state representative. We had her on many months ago. Powerful, transformational, passionate for kids and serving the community. In fact, both her and her husband Mike adopted a number of children, and you might remember some of that story on how well the children turned out because of their love and their commitment to the Lord. But we're going to have Mike share a little of some of the things God's put on his heart, because this past Saturday he was the keynote speaker at the BMIC gathering, the Businessmen in Christ, on Saturday, and he brought great conviction to us all as he talked about how the church isn't talking much about repentance. And sometimes we get caught up in our titles or our possessions and how that can become a great distraction. So anyways, Pastor Mike, what else would you want our listeners to know about you before you share a little of your faith journey?
Well, I could start with me and Lisa started dating in high school. Mm. So we come from down in Fayette County, Brownstown. Okay. She was from the south side of town. I was from the north side of town. The Romeo and Juliet, I guess, of Brownstown. But anyway, we went to school together at Lakeland, and then we got married in 1988. Our first child was born in 1992. And then we started on a journey with children.
Mm-hmm.
She worked at the local free health care. And this would have been in the 90s, prior to everybody telling us that there was no free health care. But anyway, she did that, so she's seen a lot of foster kids, and she wanted to help out with some of these kids. She was like, "Hey, we're blessed. We could take care of some of these kids." So we became foster parents. And through that, it became this. We ended up with three of our own children and seven adopted children, mm-hmm. including two that came from China, the last two we adopted. Now, I had to finally shut her up, shut her down, I mean. Yeah. And now I think she's just happy to be grandma with the other ones. We still have three in high school. We have a senior, a junior, and a sophomore. So we're finishing that up. The rest of the kids, one owns his own. My oldest owns his own business. The next one down would be Josh. Well, let's just put names to it. Cole's the first one. Josh would be the second one. He still is at home. He's dealing with some things, but he works at the funeral home, does that. My next was my daughter, Erin, who has two grandkids. And then we come to Devontae. Devontae was adopted. He was the one that Lisa probably talked about that had so much trouble in foster care.
Right.
And then he came to our house, and he tried to get out of our house, and she basically told him, you can't leave because we love you, and you are now a Smith kid. So he then took and ran with that, given the situation he was given, and he became quite the man that we are so proud of today and went on to graduate from West Point. And we're very proud of him. Then I got three that are all the same age, one being a biological son, Ian, who is now in college, who proved his dad wrong by playing video games all the time and paid for his college by playing on e-sports teams.
Yeah.
So he's going to Ohio to finish his college education. And then I have Sean, who was one of the boys we adopted from China. He is in the military, in the Army. He's in South Korea right now. And then Donovan, who's lives there by us in Taylorville. And then we go to Tanner, who was the other son I adopted from China, and he's at home. He had spina bifida, so he wears braces. He walks even though they told him he couldn't walk. He got to go to school in America. That was not going to happen in China. So we knew that that was going to be a big thing for him.
And I think he got to be like a captain of the team.
He's the manager.
Yeah, manager, yes. And very involved. Everyone loves him.
Yep. Well, Josh was the same way when he was in there, but Josh is 30-something now. But anyway, and then we got Jaylee, which is our angel. She can sing like the angels can, and she does that. She's into that part of the school, which I just thank God that there's still arts in the school that isn't garbage arts, but truly the arts that show just how creative mankind is through the blessings and talents given them by God. And then our youngest is Cameron, and Cameron is a sophomore. He plays on the football team and the basketball team. And pretty much drives everybody nuts because he knows he's the little one.
Yeah.
So, and then we have two grandchildren, Ethan and Rose. And one of them's in first grade, and the other one was just born. I think he's just a little over a year old. So we're very blessed in that. And we never knew when we got together that this is what was going to happen. In fact, went down to our summer break in Florida. We had no children. We were trying, but it wasn't working. And I decided I would talk my wife out of having children altogether. And we got down there, and she had one more test. She took the test, and that was the end of me thinking that I wasn't going to ever have kids again.
Sure.
But the good Lord steps in. So, like I said, we came from Brownstown. I grew up, my mom and dad divorced when I was about 12. My dad was one of those men of God that walks the walk. I mean, you don't have to have the Bible out to see the Bible walked in around my dad. And his name's Terry Smith. And then my mom, she originally was the one that won us in the custody, but in the 1970s, a woman could not raise a family, three kids on her own, even with the help from dad. So she had to move to the city. She knew she couldn't take a bunch of little hillbilly kids to the city. It'd eat us up. So she had the grace and the love for her children enough that she gave us to our dad. She moved to the city. She came and did everything, you know, came every weekend and did all that stuff. But then we were raised, like I said, by my dad. And then, of course, me and Lisa met at school and then in church. And we did all those things. We went off to college. And I first went to St. Louis Christian College. If you know that, there's probably some people on here that know of that college. I played basketball. That was why I went. Because that showed on my grade card when it come back with everything but A, B, C, or D on it. It pretty much just had unattended and all kinds of other things. My dad seen that, and that was the end of my basketball career. And I would come home, and then we went to Lakeland. So I walked away. I loved music. I just love music. I still love music. And I played music in bands, and I did all those things. I was able to start writing music with my bands. And the last one, we actually toured most of the United States and then into Europe. And I don't mention the name. People will ask, but I will not tell it because there's nothing good that I can see from the internet on it. That was where God led me. And while in Europe, I decided that me and the drummer set, and we decided that it was time to spend more time with our families. Not in a Christian sense, but in just that's what we should be doing. During this time, my wife decided to start going to church again. Well, She knew that if she started going to church, I'd have to, because she would tell my dad that I wasn't going and she was going.
Yeah.
And my dad would always call me. And when he talked to me, he'd always ask me, "Hey, were you at church Sunday?" And he knew the only way I was even close to a church is if the overflow from the bar parked at the church.
Mm.
But he still prayed. And he told me later, once I did, you know, come back, that he prayed every day for me to hit the deepest, darkest pit I could get in until I had to look up and see the light.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened whenever the same drummer I was talking about passed away due to bad things. And we went to the funeral, and my wife wouldn't go in the funeral home because of the way it was being represented and everything. So I had to drag her in there because she needed to be there with me, because what I saw was, hey, you're not going to live forever. Hey, all the stuff your dad does and says is true and truth. So I eventually walked away from it, and then I became part of the church. I truly believe I was anointed with the Holy Spirit. I always was able to speak. That was something that was given me early in life. That's why I was at the Bible college, but I chose to walk the other direction. And God watched over me, kept me safe through all of it. And then I became a Christian and a born-again believer. And that's how it started. And then I went to church, and they needed fill-in pastors. So I filled in. And eventually, a little country church, this time we would have been going to Mount Auburn, little country church called and said, "Hey, can you fill in for us?" And I'm like, "Sure." And I'd fill in. They'd get somebody there. I'd fill in. They'd get somebody there, and no one would take the job. Finally, they called me from the basement, said, "Hey, we're having a meeting. Can you come out? This guy don't, he ain't going to do it neither." I said, "I'm going to come meet with y'all. I'm going to fix this." So I went there in my mind, you know, because God don't know what he's doing. I know what I'm doing. And I went there with this intention. This is an old church, 100 plus years old. I said, "Here's what we're going to do. If you want me to minister here, I have to continue my ministry in town, which means you're going to have to move your service from 10 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Okay, I got them, right? I had them. There's no way this average age, 65 years old church is going to change. Of course, God knows and I don't, and they switched the service. So there I am. Now I'm a pastor. My wife probably isn't real happy to be a pastor's wife because she's just like, you know, we got so much stuff on our plate. Now you're going to try to do this plus work full time, because I work full time at SKS Engineers there in Decatur. And I do all these things.
Which you're still doing, right?
Yes. Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah. I'll have to work till I'm about 72, especially if the political climate stays the same and they keep asking me for more money. But it's been a ride. But God doesn't quit moving in your life. And that's one of the things I'm always on my dad, who will be 80. I'm always on him about, you know, you don't get to retire until you get to heaven, Dad. These people need to hear your voice. This generation that's coming out right now needs to hear people that are 80 years old, 60 year olds that have lived through the fire. And they then will be able to continue to preach the gospel, which brings me to the February 14th of 2024 this year. I woke up doing what men do at night. Now, everybody that's on this radio that has somebody that's 50 to 60 to 70 years old, understand that men, for some reason, I don't know why the good Lord did it, but decided that we had certain things we had to do in the middle of the night.
Yeah, well, 2 to 3 is my window.
So at 2:45 a.m., I woke up. I didn't know what time it was. I walked out of my bedroom into my walk-in closet, and there's a window there. The color of the window is like yellow, just this bright yellow. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I've overslept. I stepped back to look at the clock. It said 2:45 a.m. I said, well, maybe it was Jesus that had come back. You know, if that would have happened, that would have been awesome, because I'm kind of tired of the whole political scene, everybody and all these things. So then I realized, nope, I didn't hear any trumpets. So I went to go finish my business. I go into the commode room. There's a window there. That's when I realized that my garage is fully engulfed in flames. The flames are leaping up the eaves of the addition, which is right below that window. And I have to throw on my clothes, get my wife up, get my kids up. I've got two that sleep in the basement. The other three sleep up there by us. There was only five kids home at the time. And we got them all out. We got most of all our pets out. And as I sat there, at 3:13, the entire structure collapsed and was in the basement burning. So in less than a half an hour, which I fully understood as I sat there, as the time sunk in, had I slept another 10 minutes, had God not woke me up, which I fully believe he did, because I give him the glory in it, because he saved my family through me And in that, there's a whole lot of scripture that backs that for a man and his family, that we are supposed to be their protectors, their warriors. And God used me in that way, and we were able to get out. And I set my truck, the kids and Lisa were in her vehicle. And the Lord, all he's telling me is, you know what? Don't store up your treasures here on earth, where rust, moths, and like I saw, fire can destroy them. And so that's where we are now. We're living in a rented house, and everything seems fine.
Yeah, and how many months ago was that where the house burned down? Because I think it was shortly after I had your wife in talking about some of her testimony,
right,
and her calling to try to represent the 96th district where she ran, I think, a few years back, and then felt like the Lord was saying, no, it's not your time, but run again.
And right.
She's been really passionate trying to share with everyone that she wants to represent the kids and the families and do a great work. And because of all the other things she does, she says, I didn't need another job, but I feel like God's want me to do this. But how long ago was it?
6 months. It's okay. Been 6 months, and we start the foundation. The basement should be poured this month, so we're going to start that whole operation. So, like, we're not busy enough. We're going to have to deal with that. My wife's one of those people that doesn't seem to understand that certain things cost certain money, because we had remodeled. Our house was built in the 1800s, and I had completely remodeled it myself, rewired, redid everything. And so when she thinks of a room construction, it's just, yeah, tell Mike, and it's a little bit of drywall. She doesn't understand we're going to have to pay builders to build this for
her. Right. So here you and your family, you're in your truck and vehicle, you're seeing the house burning down, all your possessions, you've been a pastor serving at different churches, all the notes that you took, all the books, all the resources, all your sermons, everything is burning to the ground. What's going through your mind?
Well, at first I was thinking, oh no, my ministry's destroyed. I don't have anything. I had got to the point in 19 years that I had probably 12 4-inch three-ring binders that were full of notes that I would just reuse. And I thought about it, and it wasn't until later that I really realized that God said, you know what? I'm burning it down. I want you to go in a different direction. You have been teaching long enough. He said, I need the gospel. We are coming into a time of a great gathering, and we have got to preach the gospel. I sent my son who preached. I need you guys to preach it now. And that's what he's put on my heart. And now I have zero notes. So if my house burns down tomorrow, all I got to do is buy a new Bible, because I preach directly from the Bible. And I do life application is what I do with the scripture, because too many people don't understand that the book was written for you. And you need to apply it to your life. And to apply it to your life, you need to understand it. And to understand it, it just needs someone that you trust, a friend that can tell you what it says. And that's truly what the Great Commission says. Go ye therefore and make disciples. Make friends. Find them people that you can trust their words. And then we then can move into a relationship with that person, which will move into a relationship with God. And that's what the gospel's about. First and foremost is Jesus Christ and the man that came who was the Son of God. And that we need to let people know that it's just as much true today as it was the day he was walking earth.
Well, I want to come back to some of your faith journey on tomorrow, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, so we can talk more about what led you to know that Jesus was Lord and Savior, not just this great miracle worker, this prophet, or the Son of God, but he became personal, because there's probably a number of listeners that are struggling with, who is this Jesus? I've heard about this Jesus. Is he a rabbi? Is this Jewish guy? Some will see that picture on the wall and think, oh, did he come from California? Blonde hair, blue eyes, you know? They're kind of confused on who is the real Jesus. So we'll talk a little more about that tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, but also the importance of repentance. That's something that oftentimes just gets missed or not communicated clearly, that there is a heaven, there is a hell, and there's a destiny set forth for all of us. Now, God's desire is that we all come to know him, but because of our self-centeredness, or we want to be our own gods, or we don't want to deal with sin, or we minimize it and we say, oh, I'm better than these other people, I'm going to get in. Well, you got to really rethink that. So on tomorrow, the Testimony Tuesday edition, I invite you back. And I want to have you close out with a prayer, because you talked about the Lord leading you. Now, you knew the Lord, but then you had a period of time where you kind of rejected him or fell away.
I think it ignored is the word.
Yeah. And so maybe that person that's driving the work today, they went to church as a child, but they kind of gotten caught up in the world or titles or making a name for themselves, and they've been sidetracked. Or that person that hasn't begun their faith journey. Now, I'm going to encourage them to tune in tomorrow so you can develop this thinking a little more. But how about praying out our program, praying for the people maybe far from God, to the senior saint that's finishing well, that's just rejoicing that they know God's love.
Okay. Father God in heaven, we just come now. I just want to activate the Holy Spirit in the hearts of those that have just kind of fallen by the wayside. They went to church. Maybe they feel like the church hurt them, and they need to know that the church didn't hurt them. It was people in the church, and that church is not the building. Or if that's what they think, that there are men and women who truly love them and will love them. And Father God, just to send those people into their lives, that they can see that they do need a church, the Big C Church. And that's what we all want to be in and be part of. Lord, we thank you for the saints, for those that are still just carrying the water for the church today, and watch over them. And I ask, Father God, in Jesus' name, that these words do not fall silent on the ears that hear, that they truly see that there is a God, and he loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son. It's in his name we ask these things, and his name is Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen. Listening friend, God loves you. He cares for you. He created you. He designed you. He has plans and purposes to be realized in and through you as you draw near to Jesus, as you recognize him as Lord and Savior. He's the Savior of the world. He's my Savior. He's Pastor Mike's Savior. And he can be your Savior as you repent, as you ask him to forgive you of your sins. It's only through Jesus that we're able to get into heaven. It's because of what he did on our behalf. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Mike Smith with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.